tuned into Quick Charge, the high voltage podcast bringing you the top stories in electric vehicles and sustainable energy daily. And it's all powered by Electrek. It's June 20th, 2024. I'm your host, Joe Boris. We're going to start today's news with Hyundai. Hyundai is launching two new electric cars in Europe, a low-cost EV and a new Ioniq model. Hyundai teased the Inster EV for the first time last week ahead of its official debut at the Busan International Mobility Expo later this month. But we do think we know a little bit about this. We think that this new Inster EV, which is supposed to be a sub-$27,000 or rather sub-25,000 euro, we think it's based on the Casper. Now, the Casper is a vehicle that's been around. This is a really cool little vehicle. They've got these in Europe, in China, in Korea. It's an ultra compact EV. It's kind of like that Chevy Spark size, maybe a little bit bigger, but definitely a lot of fun and great styling on these. Everybody who drives these loves them, and they talk very highly of them in the different forums. So something like this coming out in the European market in that 25,000 US, love to see something like this. If you would as well, definitely let us know in the comments. Now, one thing that's worth noting here is that Hyundai continues to invest in EVs and continues to believe that EVs are the future. Now, if you're an American, if you're in North America, you're probably seeing a lot of articles talking about sales decline, EV sales are slowing down. Well, that doesn't really seem to be the case. Steep discounts across different makes and models are boosting EV registrations in April. Toyota, Ford, Rivian are leading growth. And again, this is coming after a number of discounts, some as high as $10,000 on select models. And that's, again, not including additional rebates from the federal government and local and state incentives. Like, you know, if you're in Chicago for ComEd, $5,000, $7,500. So these steep discounts are definitely driving sales despite talk of a cool down. Electric vehicle sales are still growing, except for Tesla. According to new S&P Global Mobility Vehicle Data via Automotive News, EV registrations were up 14% in April with 102,317 electric cars registered in April. EVs accounted for more than 7% of total light vehicle registrations in the US. This is outpacing the overall market. The overall market grew about 7% compared to 2023. EVs more than double that. So EVs are becoming a larger piece of the pie seemingly every quarter that goes by. But why are we hearing so much news about an EV slowdown? Well, this is an interesting graph that was shared by somebody over here on Mastodon, Mhoy. And I just want to read exactly what it says on the graph because we've linked to it a couple of times now in different articles. Maybe you've seen it. Tesla is cratering so hard that it is skewing the aggregate market data. So let's look at this information here. EV sales are surging ahead for most automakers in the US, excluding Tesla. Sales rose 13% compared with last year. So 20,000 unit change. Obviously, look, Tesla is the 800-pound gorilla in the EV space, especially in North America. But look at Hyundai, look at Ford, look at Rivian, Mercedes, BMW. These are established brands, and they're seeing huge growth year over year. GM, they fell off a little bit, but that has more to do with the fact that their Chevy Bolt and Bolt EUV no longer exist. And those numbers now represent much larger, much more expensive Ultium-based vehicles, whether we're talking about the Cadillac Evoque, the GMC Hummer, the Chevy Silverado. These are pricier vehicles, and those are selling pretty well. Once Chevy gets back in the game with something like the Chevy Equinox that's going to be much more affordable, or a new Chevy Bolt that's going to be much more affordable, you're going to see those numbers surge ahead as well. Now, another area that we traditionally think of Tesla as a supreme leader in the EV space and the technology space is autonomous or self-driving. Well, the CEO of Ford says that they're getting very close to level 3 autonomous driving that enables hands and eyes off. That's different from the level 2 kind of driving that you're seeing from Tesla, which does require you to constantly monitor the vehicle. And this is not like me hating on Tesla. That is actually in the description of full self-driving. They do require you to be constantly on the ball. Now, Ford's Blue Cruise won Consumer Reports' top spot for driver assistance systems last year. That beat out GM Super Cruise and put Tesla in seventh place. Recently, Ford CEO Jim Farley shared an update on the automaker's progress in autonomous driving, which has already reached level 3 at the prototype stage. So this is really exciting. I, for one, cannot wait to see level 4, level 5 autonomous driving. I'm not 100% sure that we're going to get there in the next 5 or 10 years. Some people are saying 1 to 2 years. I think that's bananas. Maybe in extremely controlled cases, terminal trucks, terminal tractors, planned routes, something like that. I just think suburbia is a little bit more complicated than people think. I think we get a lot from driving in terms of human intuition, animal intuition, if you will, that AIs simply haven't been programmed for and can't calculate for, because the kind of interactions, the social cues that we get from other drivers, whether it's driving behind somebody and going, well, this guy's doing something really squirrely, I got to go away from him. Those are kind of social cues that I don't think have yet found their way into a lot of these autonomous driving systems. I don't think they will anytime soon in a way that a lot of people will comfortably depend on, especially older aging drivers, Gen Xers, late boomers, early millennials, that kind of thing. But hey, what do I know? Head down to the comments. Let us know if you agree or disagree with that. But regardless, I think we have to admit that one of the regions where autonomous driving seems to be taking off is in China. Now, China is in the middle of kind of the burgeoning trade war here with Europe and the US when it comes to tariffs and things like that. The Chinese ministry is saying that EU's anti-subsidy EV probe made spy-like levels of unreasonable demands. What's basically being alleged here is that the depth of information that's being requested by the European Union is tantamount to industrial espionage. The way that they're interrogating these Chinese automakers about what are their plans for marketing, what are their plans for vehicle distribution, what are their plans in terms of how these vehicles are constructed, that information, if it is made public, is going to enable the European and, frankly, American automakers to catch up to the technology that is currently present in some of these Chinese cars. Now, I've been in a number of Chinese cars, whether they're Nios, whether they're Li Autos, and for the most part, the technology does seem to be there. Certainly, if you're familiar with Volvos, you're familiar with Geely, Zeekr, things like that, those brands are building phenomenal product right now. And I think, and I think I'm not alone in thinking this, that they are quite a bit ahead of where companies like Volkswagen are, or where companies like, frankly, Stellantis and Ford are. And I think that comes more from the software side in terms of software-defined vehicles, which is a buzzword now in the auto industry, but is something that the Chinese have been working on now, certainly something that Tesla's been working on as well. I don't want to downplay Tesla's role in advancing the technology in the automotive state of the art. But again, I think that there's something to this. The Europeans have always been very cagey about what they let into certain markets. So when asked whether the EU Commission was using the anti-subsidy probe to spy on Chinese EV automakers, Yadong said the following: the type, scope, and quantity of information collected by the European side was unprecedented and far more than what is required for countervailing duties investigation. Now, the Chinese are always going to cry foul, just like the Europeans are always going to cry foul. That's how these things work. Both sides are always going to accuse the other side of wanting too much, asking for too much, and essentially giving too little, right? So that's to be expected. But I do think that there's something to this. Again, that's why we have comments section. Let us know what you think. Love to talk to you about it there. As we talk about the Chinese market, we have to talk about the Chinese automakers. One of them, NIO, is confident that its affordable Firefly EVs will still be competitive despite the EU tariffs that are currently being argued about. NIO CEO William Li is assuring us that his new brand can still make its mark in Europe, even with additional tariffs. Li criticized the EU's decision, saying the EU originally imposed a 10% tariff on Chinese EVs, and now an additional 21% has been added, raising it to 31%. I mean, that's a 300% increase in tariffs, but Li is being very cool here and kind of keeping the math simple for everybody. NIO's leader called it a conflict of logic, as Europe is viewed as a global role model for clean energy. And I think that's very true. European countries, by and large, want to be seen, want to be viewed as intellectual leaders, as thought leaders, as technology leaders. I'm not sure you can continue to argue that. Certainly 10 years from now, I don't think you'll be able to argue that that is the case. I think more and more you're starting to see Chinese automakers, certainly Tesla, I think took the wind out of the sails of Mercedes-Benz, Audi, BMW. When the Model S began outselling the Mercedes S-Class, BMW 7 Series, and Audi A8 combined, which we've seen now for several years. And it's not something that gets talked about as much as it did early on, but it's certainly something that gets under the skin, especially of Mercedes executives who are watching their EQSs just sit on the lot. I think it irks the Germans, and I think it irks the European automakers that these Chinese and American upstarts, which I guarantee you is how they talk about them in closed doors, are effectively leading the way. And it's not them, and they're not the technological precision powerhouses that they want to be known as. So I got to agree with NIO's CEO here, William Li, calling them out is a just perfect move, and curious to know your thoughts on that as well. Finally, we're going to close with an energy story. Haven't done one of these in a couple of days. Obviously, Michelle Lewis covers a lot of solar, wind, energy kind of production stuff for us. And she's got an article here. This UK wind monopile factory will create 2,000 jobs and become the world's largest. Obviously, this is in the UK. These are going to go into the North Sea, things like that. If you don't know what monopiles are, I had to look it up. Those are the steel tubes that are driven into the seabed. They serve as the foundation for giant offshore wind turbines and support the weight and wind loads. This is going to be a very vast, massive construction site, 90 acres. It's going to produce 3,000-ton monopiles, and the construction phase alone will generate 1,500 new jobs in the UK with an additional 750 positions once the factory comes online in 2026. And finally, as we close it off today, I want to remind everyone, it is the solstice today, June 20th, the longest day of the year, at least in the Northern Hemisphere. So I guess in the Southern Hemisphere is probably the shortest day of the year. I'm not quite sure how that works. I want to leave you here with some parting words from a classic radio show in the Southeast. It used to be called John Boy and Billy. They had a great Christmas episode where the receptionist answers the phone and she says, you know, Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, festive Kwanzaa, and for our pagan and druid friends, a pleasant solstice. I want to wish all of my pagan and druid listeners happy solstice. We'll see you tomorrow.